When it seems like all the armies of earth are coming at you, know this. His army is so much greater, and it's in place, and it's ready for you. If you're living for God, if you're living for Christ, if you're a blood-bought child of God, make your prayer, open the eyes of my heart, open my spiritual eyes, Father, that I might be able to see your solution.
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room, how many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
I invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings in your Old Testament. Chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 19 today, just for the sake of time. But in your devotion time throughout the week, I would encourage you to go back and look at the entirety of this chapter. So building up to our main text of what we're going to be talking about today, every time the Syrian king would go out against the king of Israel, it was like someone was betraying him. Somebody was telling the plans. And the king of Syria says, who amongst us favors the king of Israel? Who is the one who's selling us out each and every time? And the king's people say, you know, it's none of us. It's that prophet. God goes before, tells the prophet. The prophet tells the king of Israel. So the king of Syria says, well, we'll take care of that. We'll eliminate that prophet of God, as if an earthly king could actually do that. When God's hand of protection is on someone, it's on that person as long as they're in God's will. That's truth about each and every one of you if you're blood-bought children of God. If you're doing God's will, nothing can take you out until God is ready to call you home. And anyway, the prophet had a helper. In some translations, the word is rendered servant. But if we go back and look at the original Hebrew language, really what that term means is minister. This was someone who ministered to the needs of the prophet. And he goes out and he sees, I'm getting ahead of myself, we're getting to our main text, we haven't read it yet. But he sees what is going on, the Syrian army at the doorstep, and he panics. And in my imagination, I can just see him going to the prophet saying, it's just two of us here. What in the world are we going to do? So I'm going to stop there and we're going to turn to God's word and pick up with our main text today. Again, 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 15, reading from the ESV this morning. It reads like this. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and he beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots on fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. So, in verse 15. There's a lot going on here, but I'm going to try to make this quick because there's some wonderful application for us to take away for our lives. In verse 15, we see that fear sets in this young man who's ministering to Elisha's needs. He's at the doorstep and he sees this mighty army. Now, what would you do? Think about it. Put yourself in the story. What would you do if you opened your door and there's this great army around you? And in the natural, it seems like there's no way of escape. There's nothing you can do but surrender. Would you be fearful? I know I would be fearful. So let's put ourselves in his place and sort of understand what he is thinking, what's going on in his mind. And I know this is an instance from history, but again, there's wonderful application we can take away from this. See, Elisha's servant's physical eyes were open and viewing the problem, but his spiritual eyes were not opened, seeing God's resolution, because God had already brought resolution to this situation. It was just this minister of the prophet couldn't see that resolution yet. He was seeing the problem with his physical eyes, but he wasn't seeing God's solution with his spiritual eyes. So the prophet prays to God and asks, please open his spiritual eyes so that he might be able to see your resolution that you've already delivered us. The prophet knew this. He apparently could see the mighty army of God all around them that outnumbered the Syrian army. So he's praying, open your eyes. You know, in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we must fix our eyes and keep them fixed on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. When we set our focus on God, when we seek his kingdom first, his righteousness first, what does scripture say? All these things will be added unto you. When you're seeking Christ and living for Christ wholeheartedly, he will deliver you. He is your protector. He is covering you. Whatever might befall you, he will protect you. The psalmist records, God will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. God will protect you. He will cover you. When it seems like all the armies of earth are coming at you, know this. His army is so much greater, and it's in place, and it's ready for you. If you're living for God, if you're living for Christ, if you're a blood-bought child of God. So when you get in these situations where all you can see is the temporary, all you can see is the external, make your prayer, open the eyes of my heart, open my spiritual eyes, Father, that I might be able to see your solution, not this problem that's temporal, but your solution. Because God's already made a way of escape if you are serving him. In verses 16 and 17, we see reassurance and prayers. So the first thing, the prophet tries to reassure this young man, and he prays for this young man. He prays that God will open his spiritual eyes, that he might be able to see God's resolution. You know, I think it's important, very important, if we have friends who are struggling with their faith, and we know this, it's so important for us to learn a lesson here. It's so important for us to pray for them. Pray that God opens their spiritual understanding so that they can see that God is already working out. This is just a minute hiccup in life. God's got this, and he's protecting them, and he will guide them through. Then in before we get to verse 19, Elijah prays another prayer. One prayer is that someone's eyes be opened. In another prayer that he prays that this army's eyes would be closed. And I wonder if this is somewhat of a spiritual sort of thing too. Scripture doesn't exactly tell us one way or another, but it doesn't seem like from the account that these people have truly lost their sight. Maybe they've lost their understanding because the prophet guides them to a whole different place. So I just wonder if it was just sort of a God changing their perception for a moment. And in a way, this is sort of a spiritual understanding too. But in verse 19, we see something beautiful here about the prophet. Elisha is more merciful than his predecessor, Elijah. Now, if you remember back in chapter 1, when the king's armies come to Elijah, what happens? He calls down fire from heaven to consume them. You know, and finally one of the king's guards comes and says, "Hey, look, I'm just doing my job. I know you are the man of God. Will you please spare me? All right, I'm just doing my job. Please come with me." Now, in my thought, Elisha never had to call fire down from heaven. God had protected him time and time and time again, and he would protect him here at this time. So I don't know why it was that drastic. That's one of those questions I'll just have to ask God when I get to heaven. But we see Elisha being more merciful in the way that he's dealing with this great army. He's asking God to sort of change their perspective so he can get them to another city. And when he gets them there, the king of Israel says, "What should we do? Should we slaughter this army?" And the prophet says, "No. No, don't do that. Feed them, give them water, and send them on their way." You know, in verse 23, let me just jump to verse 23. "So he prepared for them a great feast, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel." I believe the prophet understood a New Testament principle, something that Paul teaches us in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 12, and that is, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So many times we look at people as our enemies. People are not our enemies. You know, God created others just like he created us. And sometimes in our showing mercy to those people that the world might call our enemies, we can bring them around to a place that they too can enjoy a relationship with Christ Jesus. Paul reminds us that what we wrestle with is not flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So understand, that's what your true battle is with. It's not with people. It's with the demonic spiritual forces that are a part of this world. But Jesus says, "Take heart. I've overcome the world." Jesus said, or Paul said, because of what Jesus has done, he has made you more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. So my encouragement to you is this: don't look at the temporal. Don't focus on that and let it drive you crazy, because if that's where you set your focus, I promise it will drive you crazy. Set your focus on God. Ask him to open your spiritual eyes so that you can see his resolve.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's word together. Blessings.